We started to discuss Hachanas Kabbalas HaTorah and said that we would take on a different limud during the weeks of Sfira. And the limud is from a Sefer Olam Amidos. And we spoke about it a little bit last time about why Dafka, this limud, is for this tekufa, for this time period, because of this time being turned into a time of Avelis, as the Gemara Nivamas Amuch Bezer tells us, because Talmidei Rabbi Akiva Lo Nagu Chavod Zebezen, as the Maral points out, the Dafka died now because Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that person who doesn't work on her or his midos, on his or her character traits, so such a person, your relationship with Torah is going to be tenuous. It's not going to be deeply rooted, and Chas V'Shalom, it could be easily blown away. And last time, that's what we focused on, the Chashivas, the importance of working on one's midos, on becoming a baal midos, a baalas midos, meaning a person who is really in control of his or her character traits. And, you know, when you look at the parshas that we read during this week, so many of them really are connected to this goal of becoming a baal midos. You know, last week, certainly Sazria Metzora, even in Shmini, when you talk about the dedication of the Mishkan, when you talk about the foods that we eat vis-a-vis taiva, the physical desires, and when we come to Achrimos and Kedoshim also, we find time and time again the concept of being in control of one's midos. But specifically, the midah that I want to start talking about tonight is the first of the midos that Rav Kestenbaum deals with in his Olam HaMidos, is a midah that you find in a number of different mitzvos in Achrimos Kedoshim, specifically in Kedoshim. And we know that Kedoshim is a collection of many, many mitzvos. Actually, a high percentage of the Torah's mitzvos is in such a small parasha. Kedoshim itself is not a large parasha. But there are a number of mitzvos that all come down, ultimately, to the trait of emes, the trait of being a truthful person. And it's interesting because a sefer that's all about midos, all about character traits, you don't necessarily think of truth as a character trait. But this is the first midah that he talks about, the Olam Shel Emes, the world of Emes. And why is that? Why is this the first midah that he talks about? Why is that? And again, when you look in Parshas Kedoshim, you'll see a number of mitzvos that really are about being an honest person. Whether it's Velos Shakru Ishba Amiso, Velos Yishavu B'Shmi LaShoker, not taking false oaths, or whether it's just later on, of Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, V'Hin Tzedek, the idea of being truthful in business, about having honest weights and measures in your stores. So we see that there are a number of mitzvahs in this week's parsha. These are just a few, just three, but you can go through Achrimos Kedoshim, certainly Kedoshim, and you'll find a number more. And why is that? Because, as Rav Kestenbaum points out, that he begins with the midah of emes, the attribute of truth, because he writes, all midos acheros are built upon this foundation of truth. Because if a person doesn't have emes as a trait, if emes is not important to her or to him, so then everything else they do, unfortunately, is suspect. Everything they do is possibly really not about serving God, but could really be self-serving. And we know to be able to be mekabel Torah, besimcha, be'ahava, b'pnimius, that's what we're readying ourselves to remove the negios, as we spoke, well, we didn't speak, but in Parshas Sazria Metzora, the idea of the nega, those are negios, those are afflictions, those are things that we're not able to be objective about. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to be objective about everything. There are things that we're not supposed to be objective about. But when we're talking about building our spiritual life, we require emes. And that's why he says the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Samach Talad tells us that Chosamu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, that the seal of God is truth. Right? We end Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem emes, I am Hashem, your God, that is truthful. And so we have to understand that this is what we are required to do. The Gemara actually compares a person that doesn't speak truth, a person that's not truthful, to an idol worshiper. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that compares Avodah Zarah, the person's not truthful, to Avodah Zarah. And why is that? And he points out because that what's the purpose of Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says that Avodah Zarah is so silly, it's so stupid, right? Think about it, what an Avodah Zarah is. These idols, why do people worship idols? It wasn't really about worshiping idols, but an idol was what? Was basically the permission to do whatever it was that you wanted, right? That was the purpose of an idol. An idol allowed you to do what you wanted and not feel bad about yourself, because no one wants to feel bad about herself or himself. And therefore, that leading a life that's built on falsehood, that's not built on truth, is like Avodah Zarah, because it's the same thing. A person is not truthful because she doesn't want to have to curb their desires or whatever it is, because a person wants to cover over truth to feel good about what he or she is doing, because that's at the root of so much of human nature, he says. The teva of a person is that he or she wants to live feeling that they're a good person, feeling they're a good person. So that's why a lot of times we just don't look at things in a truthful fashion, right? And you know, it's something that we've spoken about so many times. It was something that we spoke about at Shal Shudas this past week. The idea of socialized Judaism. Socialized Judaism means you live Judaism based upon societal norms in the Jewish world, not based upon what's true and what's false. Right? The story I've told you many times. I don't think I told it the last time we learned about my brother and the chicken. Did I just tell that story?
No.
Okay. It's an old story that I've told many times about the time when my parents were away for a bar mitzvah and Shabbos, and in the middle of the meal, one of my brothers jumped up that the chicken was treif. My grandmother started flipping out and said that, what do you mean? Speaking Lashon Hara is 28 Yisurim D'oraisa, eating a treif chicken is one. But it's socially acceptable to speak Lashon Hara. It's socially acceptable to do anas devarim, to verbally abuse people. But it's not socially acceptable to go into White Castle and get a chicken sandwich. Do you realize how much worse it is spiritually to engage in conversation than it is to go to White Castle and get a chicken sandwich? I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. But when you look at things through the Mabat Shel Emes, when you look at things from the perspective of truth, so, you know, it means calling yourself out. It means making yourself uncomfortable at times when you really want to look at things from the perspective of truth. But he says that this is why it's so important, why this is the first midah that he talks about, because nothing else, if you don't have truth, you can't be sure about anything else that you're doing. You can't be sure about anything else that's going on. And so that's why he says that we have to be committed to this notion of chasing down truth. And he says that the Gemara in Kiddushin is a prime example of how dangerous it is, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Kivan she'avar adam aveira, Kivan she'avar adam aveira v'shanaba nasis lo keheter. That when a person does an aveira and then he sins a second time with the same aveira, it becomes mutter to him the second time. The third time he does the aveira, it becomes a mitzvah. Right? That's how some continue the Gemara. Why? Because you have an aveira that is very difficult for you to overcome, right? A person that, let's say, has a great desire for cheeseburgers, right? So the first time, I feel so horrible. Second time, you know what's really bad about the cheeseburgers? It's not so bad. It's not, you know. And then the third time, that's really a mitzvah because I'm so hungry. And by giving into this taiva, it saves me from other taivas, right? Meaning, that's the way that human beings work. That's what we're able to do. And he says the contrast of this is what Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei, Ki sheva yipal tzadik v'kam, that the tzadik falls seven times and then gets back up. Meaning, that why is he a tzadik? Why is she a tzadikis? Because she's not afraid to say, look, each time I fell. Each time it was an aveira. He says there's something great about that. There's something great in being able to say that each time that I did this, I know I sinned. I know I sinned. Meaning, do you realize that? Meaning, what Shlomo HaMelech is not only saying the godless is getting up. It's not rationalizing. It's not justifying. It's not saying, no, it's not really such bad Lashon Hara. It's not really Lashon Hara. No, admit it's Lashon Hara. You know it's Lashon Hara, and I have to stop it then, right? And this is what Emes is really about. And Parshas Kedoshim, of course, Parshas Kedoshim calls to us to view ourselves in a truthful way. And this is something that he really talks about in Olam Shel Kavod in the second part of it. But the idea is, do we have a truthful perspective on ourselves? Do we really look at ourselves with truthful eyes? What does that mean, to look at ourselves with truthful eyes? What does that mean? Look at the beginning of the parsha, right? Kedosh Mitiyu Ki Kadosh Ani. We once learned together, I don't know how many years ago Cheryl will tell us, but Kedosh Mitiyu Ki Kadosh Ani, that what is the comparison? You are holy because I am holy? What's the Torah saying? That we're holy because God is holy? Can you compare the holiness of a human being to God? That's what the Pasuk's doing. You're holy because I'm holy. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, your holiness comes from me. Do you know how great you are? You know how amazing you are? And so when we talk about the need of a person to feel good about herself or himself, he argues that if you have that truthful perspective, if you look honestly, if you look emistically, you'll see what a great person you are. You'll see what great talents you have, what great kochos you have, what abilities you have to make a difference in this world. And when we talk about difference, we don't mean, you know, change the world, right? You change the world to one person. You made such an amazing difference in this world, right? They say, B'Shem the Baal Shem HaKadosh, it's said in the name of others as well, that it's worth it to live 70 years in this world with all the tzaras and everything that a person experiences to do a tova for another yid one time. To do a favor for another Jew one time, to really help another Jew. So we have no idea. If you look at things objectively, it's unbelievable. And that's why the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, Yiyush Shalom Midas. Right? The famous Vart of the Kotzker, that Yiyush, it's a halach and elu metzios in the second parak of Bava Metzia about finding a lost object, when a person gives up, when a person doesn't give up, it's a machlok, it's a bayi rava, yish alo midas, yish midas, havi yish, lo havi yish. But the way the Kotzker is dorish the Gemara, al pidrush is yish shalom midas. A Jew who gives up is insane. What does that mean, a Jew who gives up is insane? What does that mean? What does it mean when a person's insane? Insane person is a person who walks into the room and says, you know, look at all these flying purple monkeys in the room. Unbelievable. Wow. Don't you see, Dana, all these flying purple monkeys here? You say, okay, the rabbi lost it. Nebuch, the rabbi's gone insane. Right? Because insane means you're not dealing with reality. The Kotzker says, yish, a Jew that gives up is shalom midas, is insane. Is not seeing reality. How does a Jew give up? Right? Think about the days that we experienced over the past 2 weeks. Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaot. The Jews didn't give up. The Jews as a nation, we've never given up. So how can you as an individual Jew give up? And that's what he says in the Olam Shel Kavod, that it's important to feel kavod, that you feel kavod atzmi. And when you feel kavod about yourself, you don't need other people to give you kavod. That's why. Chasing after kavod of approval from others is so unhealthy, because it shows that you don't have a sense of who you really are. If you have a sense of who you really are yourself, so then you don't need other people. And lehepach, you should look, he says, to find that kavod for other people, the kavod in other people, and show them the kavod, and certainly in family members and friends, people that you're around all the time, to help them see the greatness that they really have. This is what being emistic is. This is what being emistic is also. It's about recognizing who you are, recognizing what talents you are. And you know, so often we do things in other realms and talents, and we push ourselves and we accomplish great things. And he said this is part of being emistic with ourself, is, you know, just like we push ourselves in other areas, to push ourselves in areas of ultimate value. Like when Yosef tells his brothers, right? Ani Yosef ha'od avichai v'lo yochlu achiv la'anos oso ki nefhalu mipanov. Right? That Yosef says, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? His brothers were so astonished they couldn't answer him. And the Medrash says that one of the Halakha Tanaim would say, like, you know, he would read this and he would say, Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom hateichecha. Woe to us, the day of judgment. What does it mean? What's the connection? So we spoke about this before, but he brings it down here. And I think this is an important chazara, because the point fits in very beautifully, that the Yosef was saying to the brothers, like, you're crying to me now, oh no, our father, you can't keep our brother, because what's going to happen to him? Yeah, ani Yosef, ha'od avichai? What about my father? you're so worried about Binyamin's father, why weren't you worried about my father? And the Medrash is saying, Avin Kohen Bardala, he's the one that has a statement that he says that the Yom HaDin is when the Ribbono Shel Olam sort of catches you at your own game. Like, you know, oh, I'm so tired, I can't do this, you know, I can't daven, but yet if it's to chveis, run to a, I don't know, a football game, a baseball game, or whatever it is, no, I have energy, I'm okay, right? Like, you always tell your kids, like, this favor, no, okay, but I have a candy, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take candy, wait, what happened? I thought you were so tired, you can't have the candy, right? But this is when we talk about ourselves. He says that Vizel Limud Gadol Avurenu, this is a very deep teaching for us. Shatrichim Luvchon Haitin Vimasenu, that we have to really check what we do. Are we doing it kifi derecha emes? Are we acting honestly? Are we doing things in an honest way? And he says that this is something that what does it mean to do things in an honest way? He says very simply. What is it that Hashem wants of me right now? What is it Hashem wants? He goes, what does it mean to be truthful? If Chosam Moshal Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, if the seal of God is truth, so that means that serving God is the ultimate Emes. That's what we're seeking. So therefore, ultimately, everything that we do is supposed to be along this line, right? And that's why the first question that a person is asked, according to Rav, in the Gemara and Shabbos, is Nasasa V'Nasata Be'emuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Why? Because it's all about the Ratzon Hashem. It's the Ratzon Hashem. You know, we believe there's something called the Mitzvah Abba Baveira. You can't cheat in business to be able to give more tzedakah. No, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way, meaning such a person is totally corrupt in terms of the essence of Emes, of what it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And he says that this is the klal ola, that we have to ask ourselves, what is the ratzon habori in this situation? And that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, the Mishnah that we just learned this past Shabbos, asei ritzono kirtzonecha, that you have to make your will his will. That's what it is, that we know ein davar omed b'fnei ratzon, that what a person really wants out of life, a person's really going to accomplish. Right? That's really ultimately what a person wants, a person will accomplish. That's what Chazal tell us. And then the Chazal also tells in that Mishnah of Avos is that what you should really want is what Hashem wants from you. It's from what Hashem wants from you. That's what you should really want out of life. And so this is why the Kotzker Rebbe was obsessed with truth. Why was he so obsessed with truth? Because he said, anything that you're doing, and certainly in the Hasidic movement, and really in any movement when there's so many details and externals play such a big role, it's so easy to get caught up in the externals. It's so easy to get caught up in things that are really not the ikkar, that are totally the tafel, that are totally secondary, right? And that's why the Nevi'im recognize that the Beis HaMikdash was becoming a stumbling block. Rachmana l'Islan, it's painful to say such a thing. Like, we think it never would have happened if we were there. But the Beis HaMikdash became a stumbling block. Why did the Beis HaMikdash become a stumbling block? Because people were focused on the externals. People were focused on the carbon and forgot that it's not about the carbon, it's about doing tshuva. The carbon is supposed to be an external manifestation of an inner state. The idea of a carbon is l'karev, is to draw close, and that's what the whole Sefer Vayikra, it's all about karbanos, it's all about things that draw us close, whether it's ritualistic in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's about interpersonal laws that are going to guide the creation of a moral and ethical and a just society, or whether they're laws that have really been Adam Lamakom, not for a Beis HaMikdash, not ritual in a Beis HaMikdash in a temple, but even outside the context of a Beis HaMikdash. And this is why we have to try to make sure that when we're preparing for Kabbalah Satorah, we have to make sure that it's all predicated on Emes. Meaning, what is it that we believe? I mean, it sounds almost embarrassing. But, you know, it's this time of year when a person is supposed to really recommit herself to Kabbalah HaTorah. And, like, we take it as a given. Of course I want the Torah. Really, you want the Torah? Why do you want the Torah? What does the Torah mean to you? And every year, we're supposed to revisit these fundamental questions. It's so obvious, right? Of course, come on, you're a rabbi, you don't want the Torah? Of course I want the Torah, right? Right? And that's the right thing to say. But why? Al pi emes. Do we recognize Ilula Hilo Hayachayim? Do we recognize what David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim? That Kivam Chayisani, that your Torah is what kept me alive. If it wasn't for Torah, I would have been gone. Do we recognize, do we believe Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu? Do we believe how fortunate we are, how blessed we are with our portion of being Avdei Hashem, of being servants to Hashem? And that's why this is the first midah that he talks about. And this is why he says, when a person is oven l'takides atzmo ikar avadosu l'takides apnimi shalo, v'lo rak sheyachash keitzer hunir mibachutz. He says, there's such a danger that when a person is talks about, you know, self-help and improving herself, improving himself, so often it's external. And there are external expressions of it. And that's why, you know, there's a statement in the Gemara in a number of places, but it's most famous probably from the Gemara in Brachos of Tocho Kebaro, that when Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, he didn't let anyone into the Beis Medrash if Tocho wasn't Kebaro, if his inside wasn't like his outside. So, you know, the question some of the Farshim asked, why is it Tocho Kebaro? His inside is like his outside. Why isn't it Baro Ketocho? That his outside is like his inside. Because everyone knows what he wants to, what she wants to look like on the outside. You know, sometimes we forget what we're supposed to look like on the inside. We forget what we're supposed to be valuing, what we're supposed to be focused on. And this is making sure that we don't get stuck on these externals. I'm making sure that we don't get stuck on the chitzonius hadvarim. And that's why, you know, that's the old joke that Hasidim love to say, that, you know, that Hasidim fear God, Misnagdim fear the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Feeling the Shulchan Aruch means that what? That you get so caught up in the details, you forget the broader picture, you know? And the irony is, okay, so the Hasidim made fun of the Misnagdim. Now, 250 years later, what are the Hasidim afraid of? The Rebbe? I don't want to get nasty. But, you know, like, what are they afraid about being found out about? Right? And this is something that when you want to serve Hashem, the Emes, when you want to serve Hashem, when you want to really make sure that you have a Kabbalah HaTorah, Be'ava, B'simcha, Panimius, it means, like, removing the socialization of Judaism. It's not about, oh, what looks from. And Revolbi in his Ali Shar, he decries, he rails against what he calls frumkeit. That people are defining their religion by frumkeit. He goes, it's frumkeit is krumkeit. Frumkeit? No. What's frumkeit? Frumkeit means, you know, it's like this picture, this image. You know, I told you once that one of my youth leaders in Staten Island, my group leaders in Staten Island, I still remember when he asked us, you know, it was a Shavuos night, one of those late night sessions, to describe like what a good Jew looks like. What does a good Jew look like? You know, and so how do kids describe, you know, 10, 11 years old, how do they describe what a good Jew looks like? You know, a long payis and a long beard and a black coat. Like, why is that what a good Jew looks like? I mean, he happened to be a Fabrenta B'nai Akivanik, this guy, and a Fabrenta Moshe Vagai, right? So to him, no, the good guy is like the big kippah guy. I mean, before the people's kippah shur goat also had long twirly payis. Back in the day, they didn't have that. You know, so he said, I don't understand. Why is that what a good Jew looks like? It's really almost impossible to define what a good Jew looks like. Maybe certain basic standards of decorum, of what we expect, but what does that mean? How do you define the outer demus of a Jew? You know, in Ramatul Katz, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, I've heard from Talmidim of his, and it's brought down in Sfarim, that he was bothered. Why in America everyone talk about Shomer Shabbos? Is he Shomer Shabbos? Is she Shomer Shabbos? You know, what about, is he Shomer Lashono? What about, is he honest in business? Is she honest in business? What about, is, you know, do they do chesed for each other? You know, and so this is why when we're making a spiritual accounting, which is what Shavuos is a new beginning of a year. Because the Gemara Megillah says that Ezra established that we read the two tochachas, right? I'm not going to be here the week of the tochacha, the harbachuk kosai. I don't think I'm here that week for sure. I know I'm in Israel soon. Yeah, I think I'm in Israel for what?
May 5th at night. Yes, I think that's Bahar B'chukosai, that Shabbos. Right, because next week already is the Shabbos for Shabbos B'Midbar. So, you know, Ezra was misakin that there's a tochacha read before Shavuos, there's a tochacha read before Rosh Hashanah, right? What's a tochacha? B'chukosai and Kisavo, the really scary curses that are going to happen to the Jewish people when we don't keep Hashem's Torah. So why did he set up one tochacha to be read before Shavuos and the other to be read before Rosh Hashanah? Tichle shano kolosea. What does that mean? Let the year end and all the curses end. So I understand what that means by Rosh Hashanah. Because when Rosh Hashanah comes, it's going to be Tafshin Ayin Tes. It's going to be 5779. It's going to be a new year. So that's why we read the Tochav Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. What does this mean? Tichle shano kolosea. What does it mean that the year ends by Shavuos? And Rav Matzisiel Solomon is saying for Matnas Chaim, in the Moadim, he points out from Yerushalmi that there's also Mechilas Avon that happens on Shavuos. Shavuos also, a person mamish can begin again. If a person accepts Torah, Mekabel Ol Torah, all your sins are forgiven, the Yerushalmi says. And the Zariah, Parshas Pinchas, because by the Karbanos of Shavuos, it doesn't say Seir L'Chatos. Every other Yantav talks about Seir L'Chatos. It doesn't mention Chatos. It just says Seir. Doesn't mention L'Chatos. Doesn't mention sin. Why not? Shalmi says, because a person that's Mekabel Torah, the old Torah on herself, on himself, and Shavuos, Molchem Lo Kalavanosov. All your sins are forgiven. It sounds like what other Yantav? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it's not Mekabel Ol Torah, it's Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Exactly. So you come back, Shavuos. Right? Good to have you back. Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. You accept the yoke of Hashem's kingdom. And also, that's how you have Mechilas Avonos. We spoke about that from the Slonim and the Siva Shalom and many, many others. But that's how you're Nakimi Avon. So there is a new beginning coming. There's Mamish a new beginning. And that's what some say. We're judged on Peiros HaIlon. The new year for trees is Tu B'Shvat, right? But the Yemei Hadin for trees, the time of judgment of trees, Peiros HaIlon, is Shavuos. That's when you begin Bikurim. But Ramatzio brings down from the Shlach, Kaddish, and others that you know what Peiros HaIlon means? It doesn't mean the apple and the oranges. You know what it means? It means our Peiros. It means our actions. It means our deeds. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. We all are like trees. We have our roots in the ground. We have branches going up. And on Shavuos is when our fruits are judged. Our Maaseh HaMitzvos. How are we doing? Do we take Torah seriously? Is Torah something that we define our lives by? And so that's why when we talk about this Midah of Emes, when we talk about this Yisod of Tikkun HaMidos, so beyond just, you know, being a good person, is that it has to be Be'emes, it has to be through the definition of Torah. It has to be through the definition of Torah. And he says this is why that, you know, Midos is much more than just being a good person. I know we spoke about that a little bit last time. It's much more than just being a good person. Yes, I went to Bal Midos, and Bal Midos is a nice person, moral person, ethical, but it's so much more than that. A Bal Midos, he says, is an emistic person, is a person who lives a life of truth. It's a person who says, what is the Ratzon Hashem for me in this situation? And I'll do what Ratzon Hashem is. Even if I'm uncomfortable, even if Ratzon Hashem is for me to do this, this is what I have to do. Right? So this is why, when we read the Parshios that we read this time of year, you have to look at it really as this is like Elul Zman. This is like Elul Zman before Rosh Hashanah. And just like all El, you're saying, Acha shalti meis Hashem osa avakei shivti b'veis Hashem koyim meichai lachzis b'nam Hashem olvake b'chalo. The one thing I want is to accept Hashem, is to be close to Hashem. That's what I want. That's the hachana for Rosh Hashanah. So too, when we're making these hachanas for Shavuos, when we're counting Sfira, we're counting, you know, we're already halfway through Sfira. What are we counting? What are we excited for? What's the Acha shalti? The Acha Sha'alti is to be able to live a life of Emes. That's what it is. Moshe Emes v'Torasso Emes. To be Mekabel Torah means to commit yourself to truth. Right, and of course I'm like holding back the Yetzer Hara from imitating Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth, right? It's not easy to live a life of truth. Truth is scary. And he says so often, you know, when people read works of Musar, you know, very often they think about the other person. You know, how often, you know, I give a drush and someone comes, Rabbi, you gave it to them, it was great. I'm like, I was giving it to you. Hello, you know, because we don't want to look at ourselves that way. I mean, most of the time I'm just giving it to myself, okay? I'm honestly. Reb Chaim Brisker always said, it's good to give a drush even if the one person I change is myself. And my father told me long ago, you have to give a drush that speaks to you, that's important to you. So that's why we have to really have this perspective of truth, and you know, to pull ourselves out from considerations of what people think, what people say, of what people look at, and then you're serving people, you're not serving Hashem. Then you're serving people, you're not serving Hashem. Right? And so that's why I think, you know, he talks about this thing, you know, it's not shayach here, of course, that's why I don't even feel the need to mention it, but he says, you know, in some communities, people running around to do chesed here and there, they don't take care of the people of their household. That's chesed. That's Ratzon Hashem. What's the Ratzon Hashem? It's only Ratzon Hashem when your name is in the newspaper. It's only Ratzon Hashem when people laud you for it. It's only Ratzon Hashem when people are saying, oh, what a great person she is. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. It's Ratzon Hashem. Well, that's what you have to figure out. But that you can only really figure out if you can be an emistika person. And that's why the Kotzker would break down his chassidim. And that's why they said people ultimately ran away from Kotzk. It's very hard. It's very hard to be a truthful person. And there's a lot more to say. And, you know, a person who's truthful, this week's parsha about accepting tochacha, right? If someone admonishes you, you know, do you get insulted? Does it break you down? Well, so most of the time it's because when the person admonishes you, the person's not admonishing in a healthy way, because the person's not admonishing the way admonishment's supposed to be. The Rambam writes that Hochech Tochiach HaSamisech is possibly the hardest mitzvah sase, the hardest positive commandment to fulfill, because you really can't have anything against the person that you're giving Tochacha to. How often when the person gives Tochacha, it's really not about, oh, I really want this person to improve. It's, what? I'm so excited for a chance to beat this person down. Right? That's so unhealthy. I remember one big psychologist, I was getting Eitzah from everyone about marriage before I got married, and I went to a big psychologist who's a friend of my family in Eretz Yisrael, because I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time, I was in Yerushalayim. I said, you know, what's the best advice for marriage? He goes, the most important advice for marriage, he told me, is to be able to criticize without being critical. I said, Mamsh, the most important advice I give people about marriage. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. Right? You always want to win that argument, right? You always want to get the last word. But no, it means swallowing your words. It means not answering back. And oivis ha-tochacha means to love tochacha, and not just to shift the blame to other people. Well, she, he, that one, this one. No. You know? And this is all about emes. That's why so much of this parsha, so many of the mitzvahs of this parsha, even if they don't seem to be about emes right away, when you think about it deeply, you'll see it's mamish all about truth. That's why the hin tzedek, the eifa tzedek, the honest weights in business, lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha, chech tochiach, esamisacha, lo sisa lovcheit, can't hate the other person when you're giving them tochacha. It has to be from a place of truth, it has to be from a place of love. And so this is the bracha that I give everyone. It's not a simple bracha, and it's a bracha that most people, they run away from truth. Most people, like Jack Nicholson said, lahavdil, most people really can't handle the truth. And that's why we live in a society that no one wants to think about truth. V'hameivin yavin. People live in a society, you want to let other people to think for you. You want to let, you know, the politicians think for you, whatever your party is, that's who you are. You let the talking heads on the news you listen to, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, who are you listening to? And you know what? It's sad when Jews do the same thing. You know, they don't think about things. This is who I am and this is what I do, you know. And they don't think. They let other people think for them. So bracha is that we shouldn't be afraid of truth, chevra. We shouldn't be afraid of truth. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to be honest with oneself. And at times it's painful. But as Rav Kestenbaum writes, it's the yisod that everything's based on. It's the foundation of everything. And look, you don't have to be a kotzker going around telling everyone truth. Sometimes Shalom overrides truth, right? Like, one of my grandmothers was a truth-sayer. She just laid down truth. You know, you told a certain sister-in-law mine, you know, I'll pay for your nose job. First time she met her, you know, like, okay, that's a little too much truth, right? So we don't need that. We don't need truth ad kedei kach. You know, we don't need truth. You know, there is an idea mishanim mipnei shalom. There's an idea that chesed emes nefgashu. You know, that sometimes, you know, chesed and emes have to learn to mitigate each other, but not when you're dealing with yourself. When you're dealing with other people, when you're dealing with yourself, if you're not truthful for yourself, rachman utzlan, you can wake up from a fog years later and realize that, you know, that you weren't being honest. And it brought you to a place where you're very uncomfortable and not in a good spiritual matzav. So Hashem should just help us that we're mechen for Kabbalah Satorah, that it should be a Kabbalah Satorah, as the Hasidim say, ba'ava b'simcha b'pnimius, that it could be an acceptance of Torah that's of love, and that's of joy, and b'pnimius, that it's on the inside. Because Moshe emes v'torasa emes. That Moshe is true, and the Torah that he gave us from Shemaim is kulo kulo emes. And if your life is about doing what's right and doing what's truthful, then you're misaveh. You desire Kabbalah Satorah. You desire. I just want to learn. I want to know what's the Torah telling me. What is it supposed to? Because this is the only source of truth that we really have in this world. Because as the Kabbalists say, as we've discussed many times, we live in what's known as the Alma Deshikra, a world of falsehood. The word Olam itself means hidden. God, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, Hashem is hidden in this world. Emes, truth, is hidden in this world. And that's why we have to work hard to find the truth. But, you know, as the Mishnah Novos that we learned this week also said at the end of Perek Beis, towards the end of Perek Beis, Lo Alecham Lacha L'Gmar, V'lo Ata Ben Chorin Nibatel Mimena. The job is great, but you don't have to finish the job. Don't worry about finishing the job, but you just have to keep working on the job. Just because it's a lot doesn't mean we stop doing it. So Hashem says, who knows what your goal is ultimately? You know, as they tell the famous story about the race to the top of the Empire State Building. No, you don't know this Maisa. It's a famous Maisa that they tell over about the race to the top of the Empire State Building, that you have to do it in like 10 minutes. It's like 10 minutes, not shayach, and everyone's running and the best this. And the one guy's like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, you're doing it crazy, all the other runners. This guy's just trotting along, all the other runners are chalishing. And what are you doing 10 minutes? It's not shayach. He's like, look, I'm just going to do what I can do. I'll get as far. And like at 9 minutes, he reaches a certain level. And the head of the race is waiting there at the elevator and says, anyone who got here, you can take the elevator express the rest of the way up, right? We don't know what floor we're supposed to get to. We just know that we're just supposed to be running the race. We're just supposed to be running the race. Okay, so, Be'ezus Hashem, you know, as I said, Chevra, this is not the regular parasha stuff that we do. This is a little bit more intense. This is, this is what Musar is. Musar is not comfortable. Musar is not making you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But, you know, Imlach Shavei Musay, right? There's some times that we have to listen. Now she can give it to her on the way home. Why did you bring me this shit? Right? You should have left me home. Now, bury you. Chas v'shalom.